Episode 3.
San Quentin, you've been living hell to me.
A long night in the cells had given me time to reflect and sober up.
Give it a break, will ya?
Thanks to Juliet and Miles, a night of passion with Francis had been thwarted, hence my late night walk, traversing the mean streets of Brighton. After 35 years, surely one night of semi-marital bliss wasn't much to ask. Just one night in a warm bed and I wouldn't have spotted D.S. Marchmont skulking in a back alley. One night of nuptial ecstasy and I wouldn't have followed the tramp with the suitcase and the dodgy limp. But with Juliet noisily making out in an adjoining room, our anniversary celebration ended with me singing country blues in a police cell.
Someone for you, Charles.
If it's Albert Pierpoint, I haven't had my last meal.
Chooky again. This is becoming a habit.
You took your time.
I phoned every A&E in Sussex, you ungrateful...
Thanks for entertaining us. Mr. Cash may now leave the building.
Hear that, lads? The man in black's hitting the road.
Well done on pissing off the other prisoners.
They're not prisoners. They're officers from the night shift.
I feel their pain.
Excuse me, Francis, I am present.
Don't we know it?
Come on, let's get out of here.
Well, what about an apology?
Charles!
I want an inquiry. Someone's going to pay for this.
One leather belt, one biro, one packet of cigarettes, one left, and one chrome lighter.
You can keep that and the cigarette.
No, he can't, and I'm going to have someone for wrongful arrest.
Well, if you'd like to make a formal complaint, I'll get the appropriate paperwork.
Oh, what's all this?
Ah, Superintendent Sawsby, just the man.
Charles, what are you doing here?
I went out last week. I meant
in Brighton. The rest of the TV crew are on their way back to London.
Are they?
A special constable saw him hanging around Trafalgar Lane, sir.
Aye. What goes on down there?
Well, it's not exactly the most salubrious part of town.
Provided it's between consenting adults, we can't arrest men for their orientation or proclivities.
I wasn't hanging around, and I haven't got proclivities.
You say that.
It was mistaken identity, sir. The special mistook Mr. Paris for Martin Earnshaw.
Martin Earnshaw is dead.
Well, the SC's nickname is Columbo, sir.
Ah, got it.
And Mr. Paris is the lookalike in the TV reconstructions.
As I told the toy policeman. And I'm an actor, not a lookalike.
Unfortunately, he got off on the wrong foot with the arresting officer.
Surely not.
The overzealous cretin arrested me.
A word of advice. Coppers don't respond well to insults.
Especially when you've got form.
Form?
Recently arrested in London for obstruction.
Actually, on that occasion, the police were obstructing him from getting into my house.
You're the brave.
The wife?
Really?
Why the surprise?
I assumed you were a bachelor.
Francis, this is Superintendent Sawsby.
If I had a lovely, attractive lady like this waiting for me, I wouldn't be loitering round the back streets of Brighton.
I wasn't loitering.
If I were you, my dear, I'd take this one back to London.
I'm not you, and I'm not your...
OK, Francis.
Sawsby.
Come on, Charles.
Shh. Oh, I knew this would happen. Where'd they find it?
Let's go.
Right, I'll get straight down there. Get me a car and a driver, will you, Sarge?
Sir.
Another piece of Earnshaw turned up.
With respect, Charles. That's none of your business.
Professional interest, Superintendent. I just wondered if citizen's arrest might need me for more filming.
This is a human life we're talking about.
Well, obviously, I wasn't being flippant.
Don't worry. I'm sure your telly friends will be coming straight back. In the meantime, dear lady, do us all a favour. And keep him out of my way.
Dear lady.
Two double scotches for me, Francis.
Dear lady.
What do you want to drink?
Grapefruit juice.
Calming up.
I thought grapefruit clashes with your blood pressure pills.
Said the hypocrite, drinking a 40% breakfast.
Just thinking of your health?
Thinking of your own. Did that dinosaur really say, dear lady?
No, calling you a lady.
Ow!
Weedy little creep.
Me or Sawsby?
For all your many faults, you're not a chauvinist.
I think that's a compliment fighting to get out. You know, I'm starting to like Superintendent Sawsby. He's one of those men who makes the rest of us look good.
He's a hideous tub of lard.
I think you've just lost the PC high ground.
There you go.
Thanks. Cheers.
See if you can make the next one touch your throat.
You have no idea what a night I've had.
I've seen the Green Mile.
Oh, you can laugh. Snugly tucked up in a hotel room.
No one asked you to roam the streets in the middle of the night. What the hell are you doing?
Why do you always assume that things are my fault?
Tell me that was rhetorical. I suppose you were drunk.
If you recall, thanks to our daughter and our arsey husband, we were both drunk.
Yet I didn't end up in a police cell. Again. Come on, Charles, what did you do?
So I told her how I'd seen D.S. Marchmont in Trafalgar Lane eyeing up the window of a flat over a junk shop, and about the tramp who left the flat dragging a large suitcase.
And you followed him?
Yeah.
Why?
He looked iffy.
I refer you to question one.
It was late and the suitcase was suspiciously heavy. He also had a limp.
Why didn't you say? Of course you'd follow a tramp with a limp. Who wouldn't?
It was a bad limp.
You see, now I'm starting to feel sorry for
him. I mean unconvincing. Like someone acting a limp badly.
A hammy limp.
Exactly.
What were you going to do? Review it for The Guardian?
The point is, I didn't think he was a tramp at all. I think it was someone playing the part of a tramp. To be precise, I think it was Ed Faraday.
The private eye off Citizen's Arrest.
Who also happens to be an ex-copper.
Before I say so what, I still don't understand why you followed him.
Greg Marchmont's working on the Earnshaw case, and he told me that Faraday loves deep cover.
Smoke on the water.
That's Deep Purple.
Oh.
Marchmont also told me that Faraday left the force under a cloud because he was getting very chummy with his criminal contacts. And guess who fired him from the force? Your new best friend, Superintendent Sawsby.
I can still feel a so what coming on.
Sawsby told me that whoever murdered Martin Earnshaw was an attention-seeking showman.
Not all attention-seeking showmen are psychopathic killers. Unless there's something you want to tell me.
We know that Earnshaw was in hock to some heavy loan sharks. What if Faraday murdered him on their behalf?
Motive?
Oh, I haven't worked that out yet.
Maybe because it's all a fantastic product of your fevered imagination.
Or maybe Faraday wanted to humiliate his old boss, make him look stupid in public.
Sawsby's perfectly able to do that for himself, patronising git.
I'm sorry about Warnes.
It's not your fault he's an unreconstructed...
Forget Sawsby. I invite you down here to celebrate 35 years of divorce avoidance and it turns into a fado farce.
Our marriage is more Whitehall farce with a touch of Ray Cooney for the scenes where I caught you with your trousers around your ankles.
I haven't got the energy for that sort of indignity anymore.
One advantage of ageing, I suppose.
Well, as I haven't heard anything from Citizen's Arrest, we may as well make our way back to London.
Seems a pity to waste a perfectly good hotel room.
Is that a proposition?
It's the school holidays. The weather's nice.
Unfortunately, the production company was stumping up for the room, and I'm off the payroll.
We could get a cheaper room.
You are propositioning me.
My treat. Call it a belated unanniversary present.
So we checked out of one hotel and found a well-appointed B&B tucked away near the lanes.
What do you think?
It hasn't got a sea view.
Got a jacuzzi.
Who needs a sea view?
Fancy a dip?
Don't stint on the complimentary bubble bath.
Where did you get the champagne?
It's Albanian carver, bought at very great expense from the barman while you were powdering your nose. Here's to foamy fun.
Bubbles ahoy.
All we need now is Juliet and Miles to burst in again.
They went to collect Angela from her sleepover this morning and then they were heading home.
So, it's just you, me, and the jacuzzi.
Looks like it.
I hope things don't get out of hand.
I hope they do.
Oh, no.
What?
I just remembered Miles' book.
Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry, it just popped into my head.
Well, it can bloody well pop out again.
Okay, it's popped, gone, vamoosed.
I should hope so, now.
Yeah.
Come here. Don't even think about it.
Hi, Morris.
Don't sound too excited.
I'm going to get undressed.
Oh.
You in pain?
What? No, I've got a pressing engagement.
Well, I wouldn't want to get in the way.
I'm undressed.
Oh.
You've done it again.
What do you want, Morris?
They found a leg.
What?
Your body double, Earnshaw. It's on the telly.
Where's the remote?
They found a charred leg. It's bound to be his.
Now I'm very undressed.
I won't be a sec.
Is that a woman?
None of your business.
Oh, please don't tell me you're with Chloe Earnshaw.
It's Francis.
Oh, give her my love.
I'm hoping to give her mine. Ah, here it is.
Your love?
The remote.
Charred remains are yet to be officially identified.
I suppose the other leg will turn up soon. Unless it's already revolving in a kebab shop window.
You're watching television.
The news. Shh.
Are you shushing me?
No, I'll put you on speakerphone.
Hello, Francis.
Hello, Morris.
This murder's turning into a nice little earner for our boys.
Ever the pragmatist.
Looks like we've found another piece of Earnshaw.
If Citizen's Arrest book you for more reconstructions, I'll renegotiate your deal.
What's it like in the land of amorality?
Every cloud has a silver lining.
50 pieces of silver in your case. It's been lovely talking to you, Morris, but now I need a shower.
Your conscience is clean. I'll I'll do the dirty work.
Goodbye, Morris.
Ciao, Francis.
Bye-bye. The water's getting cold.
I wonder.
I'm going off the boil, too.
That suitcase looked heavy enough.
Or I could get dressed and we could watch Cash in the Attic.
What? No, you go and warm up. I'll join you in a minute.
I'm not really in the zone anymore, and you're wondering if your limping tramp had a leg in his suitcase.
I admit it's a bit grand guignol.
OK, give me 5 minutes to get dressed, then you can show me where it all happened.
Are you sure?
Well, we're not going to find a man with a limp in here, are we?
20 minutes later, we were peering up at the window of a flat above the shabby junk shop. It was only in broad daylight that I realised the side doorway we huddled in belonged to an adult boutique, coyly named For Your Eyes Only.
See that window?
The word sex toy never quite worked for
That's
me.
The one Marchmont was watching.
It's like Posh and Spice, one sort of cancels the other.
From here I could see him clearly.
And where do you keep sex toys? A sex toy box?
He was scribbling something in
and
a notebook.
And you die and your kids are clearing through your stuff and it's, oh look, here's mummy's...
Can we please concentrate on the job in hand?
Marchmont was staring up at the window and he made some notes.
Then the light went
out. Oh, God, ass!
What?
That DVD!
Francis.
Whore of the worlds are like that!
Are you interested in what I saw last night, or would you rather do a critique of porn movie titles?
In truth and latter, but carry on.
Okay. The light in the window went out and Marchmont hurried away. I was about to follow when the door opposite opened and out limped the tramp.
Or Ed Faraday playing a tramp.
Maybe. There's something I haven't told you about him. You know Sam Noakes on the show?
The eye candy copper.
She had a fling with Greg Marchmont. Then when he left his wife and kids, Noakes dumped him for Ed Faraday.
So, Marchmont's got a good reason to hate him. Yeah. What's any of this got to do with the Earnshaw murder?
We know Faraday had underworld connections.
Maybe Greg wants to make sure he gets what's coming to him?
There's no love lost there, but trouble is, Greg told me he didn't believe Faraday was a bent cop.
Beverly Hills copulator!
I thought you were interested in this case.
I'm sorry, but it's funny.
Anyway, us chatting in a sex shop doorway is not a case. If it was a case, we'd be following leads.
Suddenly she's Miss Marple.
I fancy myself as V.I. Wachowski.
I fancy you as V.I. Wachowski. And what would she do in this situation?
She'd go over and knock on the door.
Yeah, great idea.
Good, you or me?
You're not serious.
I'll do it.
Francis!
Stay there and check out the cast list on Shaving Ryan's Private.
Francis! Oh, sorry!
Scurrying back to my hidey hole, I watched Francis ring the doorbell. I didn't know what she'd do if Faraday opened it, and I doubt she did. In the event, it wasn't opened by a tramp or a private investigator dressed as a tramp. It was opened by D.S. Greg Marchmont, which was odd, because he didn't live there. Odder still, he was in shirt sleeves and rubber gloves.
Get away from there, Francis. Walk away.
Francis seemed to be brazening it out, and after an apologetic exchange, Greg closed the door and she started back towards me.
What? Don't come straight back to me.
Fearful I'd be spotted, I shook my head and indicated for her to follow me.
What a reckless, irresponsible...
How many sugars are you going to put in that tea?
Don't ever do that again.
Calm down.
Calm down. Anything could have happened.
Well, it didn't. Anyway, he's never seen me before. I was just a ditzy woman who'd gone to the wrong address, and in all due immodesty, I was hot.
It's not a game.
I was really in character. You'd have been proud.
What's happened to you?
It was a buzz.
You're turning into an adrenaline junkie.
It was exciting.
There are safer forms of excitement.
Oh, stop talking like a public information film.
Anyway, what the hell was Marchmont doing in there?
And in rubber gloves. You don't think he's in there now, hacking off the other leg? He looked very shifty. I reckon he's as guilty as hell.
If I ever go to court, I don't want you on my jury.
Well, something's going on in there.
But what?
Murder!
People are looking.
Was there any blood on the gloves?
No, but he'd have washed before... Bleach.
What?
While I was talking to him, there was a really strong smell of bleach and pine disinfectant.
Could have been cleaning the lavatory.
The lavatory of a limping tramp. And why is a tramp living in a flat? Even a grotty one.
We ate early that night and made sure we were back at the B&B in time to watch further developments in the latest instalment of Citizen's Arrest.
Do you mind drinking out of a tooth glass?
I'll drink out of anything.
Even if it's had someone's dentures in.
Nothing good, wholesome alcohol won't sterilise. Ah, here we go.
The investigation of missing businessman Martin Earnshaw. Earlier today, a second leg was discovered on waste ground, and the police have confirmed that they believe this to be linked to the case.
There you go.
In a moment, we'll show you a reconstruction. But first, I'll hand you over to Detective Inspector Noakes. Sam.
Thanks, Rob. The reconstruction you're about to see shows Mr.
She dyes her eyebrows.
A fashionable Brighton restaurant a few days before Martin Earnshaw's disappearance.
On the 15th, Mr. and Mrs. Earnshaw arrived at the Bay Tree Bistro at around 8:30.
Is that you?
Yes.
The clothes Chloe Earnshaw.
Where'd you get that awful jacket?
It's Martin Earnshaw's.
It's a shame I can't buy his style.
Ooh, here comes Chloe.
This is like being in a cinema with a two-year-old.
She's done it too. All these media women dye their eyebrows.
Will you shut up about the eyebrows?
Is that really how she dresses? Talk about obvious.
We were supposed to be a couple on a night out.
That's not fabric, it's sausage skin.
She's a young woman.
You would like it.
Whether I like it or not is irrelevant.
So, you don't like it?
I have nothing to add to the burning debate about Chloe Earnshaw's dress sense.
You don't need to, your face says it all.
If that film jogs any memories, please get in touch.
You talked through the whole thing.
You're what?
I'm really sorry. Did you meet her while you were on the show?
Sam Noakes, I saw her, but we didn't meet. Why?
Well, you could have used the old Paris charm and pumped her.
What's got into you?
For information.
Oh, about what? And why would she talk to me? As far as citizen's arrest is concerned, I'm just the Earnshaw lookalike. Now, if I had information for her...
Phone the hotline and tell them about Faraday and Marchmont and the flat.
Tell them what? We don't know anything.
We know Marchmont's been in there wearing rubber gloves.
He has to pay alimony. He could be moonlighting as a cleaner.
Come on.
Where are we going?
Out.
Can't we stay in? I could always use the old Paris charm on you.
I'll let you pretend I'm V.I. Vashovsky.
Meandering through the back streets, we passed several pubs and I whimpered like a dog desperate for a walk. But Francis was on a mission, and pretty soon we were back in the doorway of For Your Eyes Only, peering up at the window opposite.
No light on.
Presumably no one's in.
Let's find out.
No! Francis! Francis!
I forbid you.
There was no obeying in our marriage vow, so you can't forbid me from doing anything.
What are you doing?
Finding out if anyone's home.
This is insane.
Come on, Charles, live a little.
Living's fine, it's dying I'm worried about.
No answer.
Good, let's get the hell out of here.
Hang on. My library card. This'll do.
You want to withdraw some books?
When I was talking to Marchmont, I noticed there was only an old Yale lock.
Okay, that's enough.
I did this once and I got locked
out. Are you out of your mind?
Just keep a lookout.
Come on. We're both going to end up in jail.
I just need to bend the card.
This is madness.
We're in.
Well done. Now shut the door and let's get the hell out of here before we get arrested.
Don't you want to know what Marchmont was doing in here? Come on, Charles, we're just going to take a look.
Oh, God.
Is that my fault the doors creak? I can't see a thing.
I told you to have an eye test.
My eyes are fine. It's just my night vision.
Well, in case you hadn't noticed, it's night and you need some vision.
Where's the light switch?
You can't put the lights on, there are no curtains. Where's my lighter?
Hang on. I took a class trip to the Science Museum last term and... Aha!
I wonder if they use wind-up torches in the SAS.
That's better.
It's too clean.
Bleach and disinfectant. That's what I smelt when Marchmont opened the door. I don't like it.
Me neither.
It's got a bad atmosphere.
It feels dead.
I really don't like it.
We should go before somebody turns up.
Do you think we should check the bathroom first?
What?
Hi, Peter.
It's Charles.
Charles?
Paris.
Oh, CP, not PC, sorry. I thought I was phoning Peter Capaldi, not Chucky P.
Chucky who?
My mistake, old love.
Are you drunk?
Not by your standards, but I have said a fond farewell to a rather exceptional Margot at the Ivy. Oh, and I bumped into your son-in-law.
Miles?
Do you have to do this now?
What was he doing at the Ivy?
Being wined and dined by his publisher.
We are technically breaking the law.
I had no idea it was his book you're going to read on Radio 4.
Actually, I've been meaning to speak to you about that.
Not now.
I'm not sure I should do it.
Charles!
Of course you should do it.
It could look like nepotism.
Oh, you old-fashioned thing. Nobody cares about that anymore.
We are committing burglary.
hurry, Charles.
If everybody worried about nepotism, the business would come to a grinding standstill.
Charles!
Anyway, he's really excited that you're doing it.
Give me the phone.
No.
Morris, it's Francis.
Oh, hello, darling. You still there?
Yes. Sorry to butt in, but you caught us just in the middle of something we've never tried before.
Good for you. Gotta keep the spark alight.
This spark is potentially dangerous.
Oops, say no more.
Possibly illegal.
Whoa, TMI. What you two get up to behind closed doors is none of my business. Just don't upset the servants or frighten the horses. Love you, leave you. Ciao.
How the hell am I going to get out of reading Miles' bloody book to the nation? I mean, I know it's work, but I can't face speaking his half-baked thoughts.
Look!
What?
These floorboards are damp.
It's a bathroom.
They've been scrubbed so hard, the wood's starting to splinter.
You're right. It's absolutely saturated in bleach, too.
Whoever did this hasn't got everything out. Look at this patch.
The torch beam illuminated a small brownish stain leaching out from beneath the bath.
What do you say we get out of here?
Yes. And now.
The next morning, I gave Frances strict instructions to stay away from the Trafalgar Lane flat. So after a full English, she went shopping, and I made my way over to the hotel where Citizen's Arrest had set up an impromptu production office.
Come in.
Hi, you won't know me, but I'm...
Charles, isn't it?
Oh, you're good.
Occupational hazard, names and faces.
You should be grateful to harvest.
That's why you're a detective inspector and I'm an actor.
You have to remember lines.
Yeah, but ask me who's playing my wife and I have to check the front page of the script.
Remind me never to date an actor.
Fine by me. Sam Noakes may have been a poster girl for middle Englishmen of a certain age, but she didn't float my boat.
Yeah. Rob's on the phone if you're here to see him.
Yeah. Presenter, producer and mastermind behind Citizen's Arrest, Rob Garston was milking the Earnshaw murder for every last gruesome drop. Actually, I was hoping to have a word with you.
Oh?
Well, you can tell the commissioning editor that Citizen's Arrest...
Shall we get a coffee in the bar?
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, well, tell her she and her Islington cronies are not our target audience.
So, what can I do for you, Charles?
Well, this will sound like an actor with too much time on his hands, but I may have some information about the Earnshaw case.
Go on.
So, I told her everything, carefully leaving out the bit where Francis and I broke into the flat.
Okay, Charles. One, Ed Faraday's got more class than you're crediting him with. And two, there are any number of reasons why D.S. Marchmont, a serving police officer working on this case, should be in this flat you mentioned.
I just thought...
You'd accuse two people of murder without a shred of evidence.
That wasn't quite what I was saying.
Sounded it to me. Let me tell you, being involved in Citizen's Arrest doesn't give you immunity from the laws of slander.
Of course.
Now, it's good of you to take an amateur interest, but in case you hadn't noticed, there is a professional investigation in progress.
I thought the whole idea of Citizen's Arrest was to involve the public in solving crimes.
That's the pitch. It's called showbiz. Don't confuse reality with reality TV.
Can I quote you on that?
No.
Put firmly in my place, I now understood how it must have felt to be in the cabinet around 1980. Then, bang on cue.
Look who's turned up again like the proverbial bad penny.
Hello, sir. You know each other?
We've run into each other a few times, haven't we, Charles?
Yes.
So, have they brought you back for more filming?
Rob didn't tell me there was going to be another Earnshaw reconstruction.
No, there isn't.
So what are you doing here, then?
Charles has been doing a bit of detective work in his downtime.
Has he?
Not really. And the detective inspector has sort of shot my theory out of the water.
You've got a theory?
Forget it.
Charles has been tailing D.S. Marchmont.
Tailing's a bit strong.
And he thinks he spotted Ed Faraday disguised as a tramp.
No, I'm sorry, now you say it out loud, I realise how stupid it sounds.
When was this?
Oh, a couple of nights ago.
So that's what you were doing when you were arrested?
Arrested?
Mistaken identity.
Charles makes a habit of winding up coppers.
Which is why I think I'll be on my way.
As it happens, I've had a tip-off that Ed Faraday's been holed up in that area, but disguising himself as a tramp. Sounds a bit amdram, don't you think, Sam?
Not his style at all.
And D.S. Marchmont's no longer on this case.
Oh?
Yeah, I had a call from him last night. I was just on my way to tell you. He's taken sick leave.
Up to that point, Sam had been looking smugly self-satisfied, but Greg's absence was news to her, and it clearly rankled that it came from her superior officer. D.I. Noakes may have the media profile, but Sawsby was still in charge of the case and she didn't like it.
Hi.
any joy with the sexy cop?
Well, she made me feel like an idiot.
Did you tell her you pay her wages?
I've pissed off one too many cops recently.
So, what now?
I don't know. I'm just walking and thinking.
How about lunch? We can think together.
On my way to meet Francis, I realised I was near Greg Marchmont's place. Partly out of curiosity and partly because I hated being patronised by Noakes and Sawsby, I took a short detour and found myself ringing the bell to Greg's basement flat. I'd have assumed the flat was empty except for the music belting out from somewhere inside.
I didn't have him down as a Floyd man.
I peered through a grimy window into the filthy sitting room. If his own place was like this, why did he open the door to the other flat wearing rubber gloves? Last time I'd been here was a few nights earlier when Greg and I bowled up in search of booze.
Greg? It's Charles.
I slipped round the side and down a dank little passage. Professionals never listen to their own advice, and Greg only had a single lock on the door. As luck would have it, my local off-license had issued me with a loyalty card. Trembling, I copied Francis's trick, and to my amazement...
Anybody home?
Having opted out of family life, Greg was living in lonely desolation. The place was dingy and depressing and smelt of sadness.
Hello?
I don't do premonitions, but before I entered the bathroom, I knew it was going to be bad. I was right.
Oh man.
Greg was slumped on the floor, a gun near one hand, an empty bottle of vodka by the other.
Oh.
Fighting the nausea, I staggered back out of the room, my mind racing. I thought I was going to black out. I needed a drink, something cold. I stumbled to the fridge.
Oh! Ah! Oh!
A face stared out from the dairy shelf, and it was way past its sell-by. But this wasn't Martin Earnshaw. Either it was his best disguise to date, or the head in the fridge belonged to Ed Faraday.
In episode 3 of A Reconstructed Corpse, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Rob Garston was Adam Billington, Superintendent Sawsby, Gerard McDermott, the Police Sergeant, Simon Bubb, and Samantha Noakes, Adjoa Ando. A Reconstructed Corpse was written by Jeremy Front and based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Evans.
The Earnshaw case rang the death knell for citizens' arrest, and as audience figures plummeted, the show was pulled, the one bit of good to come out of Sawsby's legacy. Last I heard, Chloe had been nicked for wasting police time. Back in London, Francis and I agreed to defer our anniversary celebrations till our 40th, if we made it. Till then, it was business as usual.
Aha! Oh! Ah! Oh! Ah! Ah, it's okay, I'll open a window. Oh, ah!
What have you even eaten this time?
It's all under control, I've just singed my cassip.
Your what?
It's a homemade Uzbek sausage I bought off a bloke at the Drum and Monkey.
Wouldn't touch it if I were you.
Oh. Not now, Morris, I'm in the middle of a meaningful culinary experience.
Did you get the script of Miles's book?
Yes, I got it.
Well, try to show a bit of enthusiasm. Here's a book of the week. This could open up a whole new world for you.
All right.
It's like talking to a sullen teenager.
Whatever.
9:30, Broadcasting House, don't be late.
Goodbye, Morris.
You're not really going to eat that thing.
Watch me.
So there I was, successful and high-earning, a classic alpha male silverback stuck in the 24/7 rat race. Then a tiny miracle happened and my world turned upside down. The miracle weighed 8 pounds. She was called Angela Olive. And I was a dad. This is the story of one man's journey into life's big adventure. It's not a guidebook, it's a guy book. Oh, sorry. Sorry, all. Something stuck in my throat.
Do you need a glass of water?
No, I'll be all right.
It's sunny great in here. Green light coming.
It may have sounded great in there, but from where I sat, it sounded like a big full stop on my career.
In A Reconstructed Corpse, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Chloe Earnshaw was Francine Chamberlain, Superintendent Soresby, Gerard McDermott, Samantha Noakes, Adjoa Ando, and Martin Earnshaw, James Lely. A Reconstructed Corpse was written by Jeremy Front and based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Abens.